What's up, guys?
I'm Josiah Keneally, and I want to invite you May 17th through 19th. This May, a few weeks away, we are doing the YA Weekend. The Young Adult Weekend is a camp where hundreds of young adults gather to lift up the name of Jesus, to grow together in community, and to go after all that God has for our future. There will be amazing opportunities of worship led by Steph MacDonald and a team. Micah Mack is preaching. There'll be breakout sessions and more. The link is in the show notes. You can use the code podcast for $10 off your registration. We'll see you there. And today's episode of the FYI podcast is brought to you by our friends at Covenant Eyes. Covenant Eyes is an amazing accountability software where you can find freedom from sexual addiction, from pornography. And there is hope, there is help, there is healing. And your first month is free of Covenant Eyes software with the promo code YOUNGADULTS, YOUNGADULTS. Again, that's Covenant Eyes. The link is in the show notes for more information. Here's our conversation today on the FYI podcast. What's up, guys? You're listening to the FYI podcast. I'm Josiah Keneally.
And I'm Micah Keneally.
We are your hosts. Happy Friday. Every Friday, you know the drill. We drop new episodes and we talk all things faith, life, adulting, relationships, finances. We literally unpack questions from you, the listener, the viewer on YouTube, and you can send in your questions to be unpacked, whether it's by visiting our Instagram is at FYI Podcast or our website, www.fyi-podcast.com. And we appreciate so much when you subscribe and share this message with other young adults in your life.
Yeah. So we are unpacking a deep question today. So first and foremost, I just want to say there's no condemnation. There is no judgment here. There is just a question that's going to be posed. It's going to be heavy for some. Maybe for others, you're questioning and asking, is this day ever going to happen for me? Or maybe you find yourself in a situation where like, wow, I wish I wouldn't have even gone here. And some of us maybe ask the question, how long can we play with fire before we get burnt? So these are just things that you are asking and the things that you are personally wrestling with within the ages of 18 to 30 as you are navigating adulting and life and everything that it comes with. And one of those things is intimacy. It's relationships. It's dynamics. It's thinking about your future of who you're going to marry. So this question came in and we're going to leave it anonymous, but it's what do you do when you're in a relationship where premarital sex has already been had and you want to rededicate your purity and wait until marriage? So first and foremost, whoever sent this in, we want you to know this is a great question to ask. And the second part of that question is what I'm getting to is like, you want to rededicate and live your life right according to the word of God when it comes to sex and marriage and your relationship dynamic that you are currently in. So,
and I would just say right out of the gate is you're not the first person to ever ask this.
Correct. Yep.
Even in scripture, we're going to see in, we're going to John 7, John 8, and we're literally going to approach this as not as what does Micah have to say or what's my hot take or thought. Literally, what does Jesus have to say? What is his word, the Bible, which gives us instruction and guidance for all areas of faith and life and theology and in this case, relationships, but also finances. And the Bible is what First Timothy talks about as our source that's reliable for rebuking, reliable for teaching and instruction and beneficial in the process. And if you go, we're just going to approach it as Bible teachers, you guys. That's who Micah and I are, as pastors and shepherd hearted leaders who are Bible teachers. And I'm just going to read from John chapter 7, starting in verse 53, and we'll get to chapter 8, verse 11. But this is the story where Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in the act of adultery. They made her stand before the group, and they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" And they were using this as a question, as a trap, in order to have a basis to accuse Jesus. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her? Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. The older ones left first until only Jesus was left. With the woman still standing there, Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," mm-hmm. Jesus declared. "Now go and leave your life of sin."
So if this is your first time hearing that story, even biblical times, there were acts of immorality and acts of people stepping outside of marriage or choosing decisions with pre-marriage, or like we caught the woman in adultery as they brought her forth and Jesus said, "We're your accusers." And
if you can just imagine for a second, if you can just imagine, church is happening, Jesus is kind of like teaching a sermon, and they bring in this gal. And can you imagine the humiliation, mm-hmm. the embarrassment, the public shame mm-hmm. from your church or your synagogue or your community, and you're brought before Jesus, mm-hmm. a teacher of God's word, and publicly humiliated, shame. And so today's message isn't one of condemnation. It's one of freedom and healing and forgiveness. Jesus speaks the truth in love. He calls sin, sin. He is the embodiment, John says, of grace and truth. He offers forgiveness to all. And he gives her some really bold instructions. What are they?
He pretty much says, go and sin no more. So I think the question that we're kind of going to segue into is essentially, how do you leave your life of sin?
It's a great question.
How do you leave your life of sin? And our biggest advice would be to you simply is just a couple options. These aren't maybe what you're wanting to hear or maybe what you're looking for. But the first one is maybe you're in a season where you have passed all the boundaries. You haven't acknowledged any stop signs and you've given of yourself, whether it's to one partner or several or whatever that looks like for you personally. Number one, if you're the listener today that posed this question, I understand that you're still in this relationship and you are desiring to rededicate your life to the Lord. I would ask you before we even unpack what we think you could do right away is the other person in this relationship willing to do the same?
Mm-hmm.
Because if they are not, and they have seen nothing wrong with it, and they just want to continue to live the lifestyle that you've chosen to live together for however long, number one, I would say if they do not want to do the same, you have to break up. Because you are choosing to be unequally yoked.
Exactly.
Meaning one of you is desiring a relationship with Jesus, pure dedication before the Lord of saying like, Lord, I want to take my relationship with you deeper. I want to live biblically sound. I want to honor the covenant of sex within marriage, not outside of marriage. And if the person that you are with is not wanting to do the same, then they are essentially saying, I don't want a relationship with Jesus. I don't necessarily honor the fact that sex is designed for marriage. So that is a form of unequally yoked. So breaking up is option one. So if you're dating and not waiting and honoring God, there is no blessing in that relationship. And I would just dig a little deeper of like asking yourself, what am I robbing myself of if I choose to stay in this relationship with sex holding us together? Because essentially what happens a lot of times is intimacy is the thing that brings and keeps people together. The act of sex, it's not actually being built on Jesus because you stepped out of the boundaries of the covenant, meaning that sex was God's idea. If you don't know that, everybody, like, he designed man and woman to be together, like Adam and Eve, when he brought them together to be fruitful and multiply. And it was designed by him. It was thought from him. It's honoring to God to be intimate with your partner in marriage, which brings that covenant into existence.
For sure. For sure. And I would say in line with that, like, our lives are lived forwards.
Right.
It's always like, what's in the next season or the future? And our lives are lived forward. So it's really hard to take physical steps backwards mm-hmm. in a relationship. Like, once boundaries have been crossed. So our encouragement would be to delay the physical as long as possible. Mm-hmm. What the Bible teaches and what God's word for a healthy Christian New Testament marriage and relationship is waiting for marriage. Mm-hmm. And that's God's design. Those are the boundaries that he has. And Micah, you talked about covenant a second ago. Mm-hmm. And this is what I think is for the Christian, the Christ follower. This is why engagement is likely the most challenging season. Mm-hmm. Here's why. Because you have almost all the commitment of marriage. You have none of the blessing of marriage if you're waiting. Mm-hmm. And also lastly, like there's not the blessing. So it's almost like the commitment of marriage is the covenant. It's also, there's a blessing that comes from that. And I just think that that's where it's, then there's the benefits that come from that covenant, of the protection mm-hmm. of the covenant. And mm-hmm. I would say the caveat is, if you are going to continue this relationship and date with the intention of marriage, like Micah has already said, both of you need to be on board. Yep. Both of you need mm-hmm. to rededicate your purity to mm-hmm. the Lord. New boundaries need to be established. And Brené Brown, she's an author and researcher, really an expert on the area of boundaries. She defines healthy boundaries in a relationship as what's okay with you and what's not okay with you. God ultimately leads with boundaries in relationships as well. And his definition would be what's okay with him and what's not okay with him.
That's good. That's so good.
And so that's building on God's word and Brené Brown. But Micah, talk mm-hmm. for a second about the accountability that needs to be put in place as well.
Oh, yeah. So I think when it comes to accountability, you need to find, I'm not saying you should, you need to find somebody that you are going to be checking in with and you're going to be sharing your relationship with, meaning you're going to go to that person and you're going to, if you mess up, if you set the boundaries and have the conversations, you are checking in with them. So you're going to find somebody that you ultimately don't want to have to tell. Like, you should be a little fearful of having mm-hmm. to tell somebody mm-hmm. that you have chosen to fall back into sin, or you've chosen to jump back into the bedroom, or maybe, and it's the other side as well, where you're choosing to bring them in, like, hey, I'm dating this person. We've had our boundary conversations. You share what those boundaries are. We put time limits on our time spent, nothing past 10 PM.
Yeah.
If you physically cannot keep your hands off each other, maybe you just need to take that break. Or you can only be in public places together yep. where you're going to be on your best behavior, where there is no opportunity for sin to present itself. So those are the things you're going to share the boundaries. You're going to invite somebody who's not wrestling with the same season of life that you're in. Find somebody who's married. Find somebody who has a good and godly marriage. Find somebody of the same sex that you're checking in with. So a female, you're going to check in with a female. Guy, you're checking in with a guy. You both have to have those people in place. And if you don't have those individuals, find a couple as a dating couple of saying, hey, Mark and Jan, like, would you guys be our accountability partners? This is where we've messed up. These are the boundaries that we've established. And we're going to be checking in with you every Monday. Yep. And if you don't hear from us, something's happened.
Yep.
And I will say that out of all the people at Josiah, like, he literally knows hundreds of people. There is only one person that got in his face during our dating and our engagement saying, mm-hmm. you better be treating her right. And you better be guarding her heart.
Yep.
And you checked in with him. Literally, you chose the date,
yep.
the times that you would check in and just saying like, hey, thumbs up. We're doing great.
Yep.
And I don't think you ever had to report something that you didn't want to report.
Right.
Because we right. honor God in that process. So would yeah. you add anything from that standpoint of finding something that you're kind of fearful of, or like,
yeah, yeah. I think with just accountability, and here's what I would say is, we're accountable as believers in Jesus. Mm-hmm. First of all, to Christ. And then secondly, to his word. And then third is the community of believers. Mm-hmm. That's the importance of like a small group, your local church, your community. And this is why the Christian life is not meant to be lived in isolation, because just about any sin can be justifiable. Mm-hmm. And Jesus calls sin, sin. And I would just say, like, in prepping for today's talk and this podcast episode, one of the things I looked at was, you know, a few online like psychology things. Mm-hmm. And I was just looking at like, along with God's word, one of the biggest things that the articles I came across was saying on this topic is why a break for healing is helpful. So it's almost like our best advice would be break up. And secondly, in addition, take a break for healing, a season off dating. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like this, if you feel broken, the best advice that we can give is to take a break. Mm-hmm. Because God is able to meet you there. God is able to speak to you. You're able to plug into his word. You're able to plug into journaling, fasting, growing with God, and you can become healed and whole and healthy, right, redeemed and restored. And I think it's so easy to jump back into a relationship. And then, I mean, one of our friends, JP, Jonathan Pakluta, is the pastor at Harris Creek in Waco, Texas. He also has a podcast called Becoming Something. Mm-hmm. On his Friday Q&A, a lot of times just people will say, well, why can't we make out, or why can't we kiss in dating? And he goes, honestly, like, it's really unkind of you to want to make out with somebody who's not your spouse. Because he just believes that it's, if you're making out, you're headed towards the bedroom and it's, right, it's like you're riling them up. You're, and I mean, where do you see this in scripture is the Song of Solomon. Mm-hmm. And it talks about don't awaken love before it's time. Right. And I would just say along the lines, we're going to talk about almost like the two tales of leaving a life of sin. Mm-hmm. And Micah, you can choose either one, but talk about like one of the two options. You have a choice of if the command from Jesus literally says, go and sin no more, leave your life of sin. What are the two possible outcomes of that?
Well, I think we can easily look at an individual, and she's never actually named in the Bible, and that's Lot's wife. And they came from Sodom and Gomorrah. So Sodom and Gomorrah, two of the most sinful cities, the cities of sin, where God literally had to destroy because things were running so rampant. And Lot's wife and family they fled. And they're running, you know, in scripture, it even talks about like they're running away. And Lot's wife does something that exposes her true heart. Even her true heart's desires. And Lot's wife looks back, meaning that theologians would assume and have put together the pieces of that she was looking back because she was longing and yearning or
lusting,
really lusting after a form of living that was taking place, that a form of living that a city that she lived in, and she turned into a pillar of salt. And the family just kept on going. So it's like, even when we look back, there was consequences. And I think sometimes we get stuck in that, that mindset. And I would say, if you're willing to take that break, if you're willing to do some soul searching and some healing and some discovering of who God is to you and what he wants to do in your life, there will be freedom in that. Your heart will be exposed in that. I mean, and it'll be really a reflection time of what has been holding this relationship together. Is it like Sodom and Gomorrah? Like, is it a sinful nature in a city that's been running rampant in my heart and soul, which actually leads to death? Like, sin equals death. Mm-hmm. Like, it's biblical. Like, sin separates us from the heart of Christ, and sin, and you know, the wages of our sin equals death. So even just taking a glimpse into that, of really looking at, whoa, where is my heart? What does that look like? And
well,
go ahead.
In our lives, like, our lives are a lot like the cars we drive. Huge windshield in front.
That's what I was getting to. Yeah.
Tiny rearview mirror to glance back to, like, and really you only need to use your rearview mirror when you're like changing lanes or looking back or backing up.
Yep.
And so this is the season to check the rearview mirror. Where have I been in a life of sin? Mm-hmm. But then the promise for the Christ follower is that your windshield is far greater than your rearview mirror, that your future and your hope and the future God has for you is always bigger than your past. So can you get past your past? The answer is yes, because of the Savior Jesus and his blood-bought future for you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get to the person who's single or who is honoring God and waiting for God in a second. Mm-hmm. But before we do, I do want to give a hope of a promise that comes from God's word in the other outcome of somebody who lived a life of sin and left a life of sin.
Yep.
And this would be actually Samson. You probably have heard the songs or the story about Samson and Delilah. And Samson, after he gave into temptation, he started living a life of sin. He also told her the secret to his strength, which was a command from God not to do.
Right.
And so he lost his sight. His strength had come from his Nazarite vow of his hair. Mm-hmm. So they cut his hair, they gouged out his eyes, and then he lost his strength. Mm-hmm. And at rock bottom, sitting in prison, able to think only of the life of sin that he left, he cried out to God. He asked for forgiveness, and his hair grew back. His strength came back, and God used him one more time.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is that hope for the individual who asked this question or is wrestling, how do I live the life of sin? How do I leave the life of sin that I'm living?
Yep.
There's the story of Samson to be encouraged that his hair did grow back. His strength mm-hmm. did grow back. God did use him again. But I want to talk, and Mike and I really want to share for the person who's stuck with us this long. Mm-hmm. And you're actually asking the question, well, I am honoring God. Mm-hmm. I haven't lived a life of sin. So should I go and sin no more, or should I go and sin? And I just want to share this quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Mm-hmm. And he says, cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. Costly grace is the treasure hidden in the field. For the sake of it, a man will go and sell all that he has. It is the pearl of great price to buy, which the merchant will sell all of his goods. That's the gospel message, mm-hmm. is that God so loved us that he gave what he had, which is his only son, Jesus, to purchase with the blood-bought price of Jesus, your salvation, my salvation. And he believed that we were the treasure of great joy.
Mm-hmm.
So, but at the same time, I just want to say waiting is worth it. Mm-hmm. Honoring God is worth it. And whether you're the listener, our encouragement would be, man, if you are living a life that's honoring and pleasing to God in singleness, in dating, in engagement, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting is going to be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like, we don't just want to be dismissive of like, it's not like permissive and just say like, hey, go, grace is cheap. No. Grace is costly. Grace comes with Jesus. Grace comes with the cross and Jesus Christ living and incarnate.
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts of encouragement for the person? Like, why is waiting worth it? Why is leaving the life of sin worth it?
Well, you have nothing, you have everything to lose and nothing to gain when you choose certain things, right? Like if we have nothing to gain when we're choosing to sin, when we choose to live a righteous life, we have everything to gain. And that's our deep relationship with Jesus. We are specifically designed to bring God honor and glory through our actions, through our lifestyle, through our relationships, through the things that he's given us. Like, are we honoring and pleasing to him? And the gifts and the skill sets, they're not for us. They're for God's glory. They're for the body of Christ. So I would say just a word of encouragement is for the listener who is wrestling and struggling and can't get past their past. I would say that start praying, start taking a time of singleness. Maybe you're listening, you're like, I've never been single since seventh grade. I've had friends like that who were in a relationship after relationship after relationship, starting at the age of 13, and they've experienced 2 divorces, 3 to 4 different kids by the time they're 30. And they knew Jesus in high school, but they chose the life that they chose. So there's consequences to our actions, but all God can redeem all things. And if you're willing to work through the skeletons in the closet, if you're willing to work through the ugliness of self and of shame and guilt and worry and concern about your story being told, later, or your story having to be told to your future spouse that you might not even know yet because you've chosen this, God can redeem, God can restore, and God can use your story. So if you're willing to go through the healing process and take a year of singleness and say, hey, for 1 year, I'm not even going to look. But I will tell you, if you choose to take that 1 year, temptation will come to get into relationship. It will. That guy or girl will come. You're like, I think they're the one. Well, if they are the one, they are worth waiting for. And if they think you're the one, they will wait for you. Because it's two healthy people getting married to create a whole marriage. It's two whole people coming together to make a whole marriage. It's not two half-hearted, broken people coming together to try to make one whole heart. It's two whole people that are choosing to live a holy, honoring, and pleasing life to God. Is it challenging? Yes. Is it worth it? Yes. Will God honor that? Yes. Will the devil see that and want to come after you and destroy and get the skeletons out of the closet and keep reminding you of all those things? Yes. But it's what you do with those things and with those thoughts and with those memories. If you're willing to work through them and you're willing to submit them to the Lord and truly rededicate any and all facets of your life, not just the ones you want to give to God, but literally everything to Him, I believe that God will be able to use your testimony of transformation, of sanctification, and you could potentially save dozens of people from hurt by just allowing God to use your story to share with others, because no story goes wasted. And if it does, then that's the choice of self, of not willing and wanting to share. So I would just say, like, you're not too far gone. You're never too far gone. There's always hope. There's always redemption. It's just a matter of, I don't want you, if you found yourself in this, to say, I'm saved by grace, so I'm just going to keep sinning and then ask for forgiveness later. That is the vicious cycle that the enemy wants you to stay in. I would say, allow God. You're choosing to get out of the pit. Let Him pull you out of the pit, dust you off, take you, mend you, make you whole again. And it'll be so worth it. And I'm not saying it'll be easy, but I'm just saying, like, it is worth it. And for the person who is waiting, like, I don't even have a boyfriend, I've never even kissed anybody, or I've never had a girlfriend, that's okay. There is nothing wrong with waiting for your wedding to be intimate with your spouse, because I believe it is harder to remain pure than it is harder to remain impure. And God sees that. He knows that in the world in which we live. So I would just say, in constant surrender, Lord, like, keep me whole, keep me holy. Now, does that make you better than the person who's chosen to sin and run that direction? The answer is no. So we don't walk around with, like, I've never done X, Y, Z. No, you should want to see your brothers and sisters in Christ live a pure and holy life. And if you become an accountability partner and you're in marriage, great. If you become a friend that just says, hey, I'm going to pray for you, great. So I would just say, don't let the good and holy decisions that you've made become an attitude of, I'm better than those who have chosen to live a certain way, but to know that God is working on all of us, and there's joy in that. And there's freedom in that. And there's fun in that. So I just would challenge you to take some time to reflect. Who are you right now? Who do you want to be? And what do you need to do in the process of getting to become the best version of yourself? Where are you the most unhealthy? Is it in that relationship? Is it in your decision-making? Is it in your friendships? And just take a season to step back, maybe, or to really lean in to the Lord. Josiah, you got something right there?
I do. I was just in my personal devotion time this week, reading SOAP, reading through Deuteronomy. And I came across Deuteronomy 28, which outlines the blessings for obeying God, the promise of blessing that comes with obeying God, and then the promise for curses and consequences for disobedience. And I think that sin has a cost. There's a penalty. There are consequences for sin. And Jesus forgives our sins. And yet there are still some of those consequences, some of those curses that linger or follow us with it. And there is a wake of blessing that flows and follows from a life of obedience and devotion to Jesus. And I would just say a couple closing thoughts, going back to the primary text that we were talking about right at the beginning, which was John 7 into John 8. And what's interesting is how easily Christ followers can become like the Pharisees who were judgmental and they ranked sins. And they're saying, we should stone her. This is what they were saying in John, is like, they brought this woman caught in adultery. And he says, the person without sin, you can throw the first stone.
And they dropped their rocks.
And there was nobody there. And that is the realization of who are we in that story.
Right.
The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And even for the person who is waiting, the easy questions are that I would ask if we were sitting down for mentoring or for coffee is, let's talk about technology. Let's talk about digital relationships, or let's talk about pornography and accountability and that side of sexual sin as well. Because Jesus said, again, going back to his words, that if you've looked at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. These are the Jesus didn't lower the bar. He actually raised the bar.
Right.
And so I would just say a couple practical challenges. Micah, you brought up one of them. I would just say that we are going to link in the show notes to Covenant Eyes, which is accountability software, especially if you're seeking freedom from pornography or sexual sin, that maybe with entertainment or devices. This is accountability software. Your first month is free with the promo code YOUNGADULTS, YOUNGADULTS, because we want to team up with Covenant Eyes to provide you that first month free. And the link is in the show notes for you to sign up. The second practical challenge is something that Micah brought up, but I would just say, if you feel like there's a wake of consequences or destruction or brokenness from sexual sin, we would encourage you as your brothers and sisters in Christ. We would just say, like, man, take that year off. Take that year and prioritize your relationship with putting Jesus first, rather than trying to get into that next relationship of dating.
Yep.
And I know there was a season in my 20s where I took a year off of dating. And I look back and I'm like, a year's a long time, but also in the grand scheme of things, a year goes really fast. And I'm glad that I made that decision.
Yeah. Well, and the funny thing is, like, I was praying for my future spouse a state over, and I was listening to the Annie Stanley Love, Sex, Dating podcasting thing series that he had going on. And I was like, I'm going to take the 1 year challenge. And I was literally praying for my future spouse. And I was praying, like, Lord, if they're supposed to take this challenge too, I pray that they do. And so I met Josiah years later and literally found out that we had both taken, I believe, the challenge at the same time, not knowing each other, but both listening to that podcast series, and took it seriously. I was saying, like, Lord, like, for me, I'm like, I got in a 7-year relationship. I was like, I am not going to waste my time again. God needs to be the first thing in my life. And I just need to reprioritize elements of my life of where do I want it to go, and who do I want to be and become, and who have I been becoming in the process of my past, and what needs to change. And I think when we can take that seriously and we do lean into those things, God does bless that and he does honor that. And I will say, like, if God is not first in your singleness, he will never be first in your marriage. I'm just telling you that because it's fact. If you can't discipline yourself now, if you can't dedicate yourself to the Lord in, like, your practices of, like, how you pursue him, how you're praying, your devotional life, your time, your time spent, your priorities. Like, if you can't do that in your singleness, you will not do that in your marriage, because what happens and what we've seen happen is Josiah would become my God and I would idolize him above my relationship with Jesus. I would run to him with my problem instead of taking it to God in prayer. But if we can discipline this first, and this just becomes an amazing relationship on this side of eternity with Christ at the center of our both singleness, because we're still single people, but we're in a marriage. Yes, we're individuals, but if God's first in his life, but I feel like if anything comes out of my life of balance where it's like, wow, I put the kids above our marriage, I put the kids above God. Like, I feel that like kingdom shift in my heart. I'm like, whoa, I need to take a personal inventory and reestablish some personal boundaries and time frames of, like, how am I spending my time? Where's my thoughts going? Where's my energy going? So I would just say, if you are single listening to this, even if you're dating, like, If your person that you are dating has become an idol in your life, it's a good indicator that you might need to just to pump the brakes, step back a little, reevaluate. Are we both headed in the same direction? What does that mean? What does that look like? Have we slowly evolved into a couple or a pair of people that we really just have forfeit the willingness of going to church and said, hey, we'll just do it online. And I don't know. It just taking some time as a personal inventory that year creates just an amazing opportunity to fall in love with Jesus for the first time or to fall in love with him all over again. And it's not that we're falling in love with what he can do for us or we want something from him. It's what he wants to do in and through us so he becomes our first love above anything else.
Man, I'm glad you said that word, first love. Mm-hmm. I'm reminded of that. I think one of the greatest tragedies in all of the story of the people of God is what Jeremiah talks about, where you've committed two evils, but you've forsaken your first love, mm-hmm. and you've dug for yourself broken cisterns.
Yep.
And that's like the greatest tragedy, is to lose your first love of God. And he comes first in singleness. He comes first in marriage.
Right.
He comes first, absolutely bottom line, no exceptions, mm-hmm. for the follower of Jesus. And that's why I think that practicing purity in singleness and in dating and engagement is so important, because you're also practicing for purity in marriage. Mm-hmm. And that's the part of the conversation that gets overlooked so often, is just wait till marriage. Yes. And practice purity for a lifetime, mm-hmm. of devotion to God and commitment in the covenant of marriage. And so you might have more questions. You might have challenges that you're up against. Know that we're praying for you each day, mm-hmm. and we are with you and for you. You can send in follow-up questions. You're listening to the FYI podcast.